This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by Our Pilates, physio-led on-demand Pilates classes designed for new mums of all fitness levels and at any stage of their postpartum journey. I particularly love the 8-week postnatal program. It's designed and instructed by Han, who's not only a physiotherapist, she's also a mother of two with 15 years of experience. This program is the perfect way to build up some strength in a way that is safe. It's done from home. It doesn't take up too much time, which we know is hard to come by in the early days of motherhood. And guess what? They're giving Ready or Not listeners an entire free month of classes. To redeem your complimentary month of Our Pilates and access a huge library of classes, simply head to their website in our show notes, that's ourpilates.com.au, and enter the code READYORNOT, all one word, when creating an account and select the monthly membership option. Rebuild strength and confidence from the comfort of your home during nap times whenever you get a moment to yourself, and enjoy the feeling with Our Pilates. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing, and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
And I am Loz, and I have a did you know story this week, which is, you know, a bit like me. Did you know that women exercise significantly less than men? In fact, 40% of Australian women aged 18 to 64 are insufficiently active compared to 34% of men. Not because I don't want to, but because of barriers like time, body image concerns, and feeling uncomfortable in gym spaces. So studies show that young women in particular struggle with motivation due to mental load and fear of judgment. But the good news, small changes in how we approach fitness, like finding female-friendly spaces, reframing exercise and self-care, and making it social can help close the gap. This is very front of mind for me because, as you know, I was like in the hunt for somewhere to exercise while pregnant, which is, I think, when you can be at your most vulnerable.
What was your best finding?
I've gone to Bump in Malvern.
Yes.
And okay. I'm really enjoying it.
Great. Okay, that's good.
Mainly because it's close, but it is really good. But again, because it's an environment where everybody else there is either postpartum or pregnant, I feel very comfortable.
Whereas safe.
I looked at a couple of other places that weren't specific Pilates places, one of which was like a gym, but it always looks really cool. And they said, you know, on their websites, it's like, you know, pregnancy welcomed, it would just be lower intensity. And I walked in, I was like, nah,
this ain't for
too
me.
Many crop tops, too many muscles.
Oh,
it's a no.
That's interesting. I haven't stepped foot in an actual gym in so long. I reckon I'm my own barrier for this stuff. I think when you have a younger baby, you get trapped in then just sort of thinking that it's too hard to get away, but it's actually not. I also get so tired. Like that's what keeps me from going is just like laziness and tiredness. But Hayden's like, go to the class. Like you are allowed to leave me with the kids. I'm trying to get better at it. I really, really want to become more strong this year. I'm aware that like our bone density is officially on the decline. Like we are at the age where everything is becoming less robust. Robust is not my word. Less buoyant, less firm, less strong. So we really do need to take our fitness seriously when it comes to our physical strength and health and not our appearance. Thank you for bringing that to us. That is a stark reminder to book in for that walk with your girlfriend, that yoga class on your own, whatever it is. What are we talking about today? I'm not ready. Mum's heartbreaking video on returning to work after maternity leave hits home. And your job is not that important. A stark reminder from a British woman on Instagram, that is a tongue tie, that I want to unpack with you, Lozzie. Take it away.
I'm not ready. Mum's heartbreaking video on returning to work after maternity leave hits home. This one really resonated with me. It delved into the emotional challenges that I would say almost every mum faces when transitioning back to work post-maternity leave. So it highlighted a poignant video where a mother expresses her feelings of unpreparedness and the heartache of leaving her baby to return to work. I am going to say this was in the US, and in the US they have very different parental leave policies. Most mums return to work after, I think it's like the stats like 6 weeks or something and up to 12.
Honestly, unless someone wants to and has a situation where they work from home and they have a whole lot of help and whatever. But otherwise, that genuinely destroys my soul.
It would be so hard.
You've just stopped bleeding.
Yeah, it would be really hard. So it resonated with a number of mothers who grapple with the balance between professional responsibilities and the desire to be present during their baby's early developmental stages. And this piece underscores the broader societal issues of inadequate maternity leave policies and the emotional toll it takes on working mums. Did you know 1 in 3 Australian mums say that returning to work after maternity leave was more difficult than they expected, with over 60% feeling emotionally unprepared? I definitely felt this. Did you feel this?
Absolutely. Although I returned to freelance work, so I feel like you're better primed to talk about it, but I definitely felt the emotions of the next stage and, wow, I'm not ready for this and this has happened quickly and daycare sickness and all those things that we've crapped on about a million times. Emotionally, it's a wild ride. It is wild.
It took me a bit by surprise, if I'm totally honest.
Is that because you think you were sort of ready in some ways, but it doesn't mean you're ready in all ways? Yeah. So then it sort of knocks you for six because you're like, oh no, I was ready for this. And then it happens and you go, fuck, this is a big life change.
Yeah. And you question yourself. I think it was the questioning myself that got me down a bit.
Yeah.
So it would be things like during COVID, I was so bored. Like I had every waking moment with my kid, which was really special in hindsight. But at the time I was like, far out.
Yeah. And you're not necessarily a newborn girl. Like I'm a newborn girl, whereas you're more of a toddler thriver.
I am. So I was really excited to go back to work. But then when I got there, it was just little things like seeing daycare photos. Didn't make me upset, but I was like, oh, I feel like I'm missing.
It's just a point in time, isn't it? It's a real point in time.
Yeah.
And it probably also is underscored by guilt because you wished away the moments that, not you specifically, anyone, that you then miss and you wish you were getting, which comes back to that paradox that we always talk about. Like it's, you're like, I wanted to be here and I wanted to have this break. And now that I've got it, I want to be with my baby.
Yeah. And it's so hard because I think like the most exciting age from like a milestones perspective is like that 1 to 2, which is when most people are back at work. So it can feel even more daunting because it feels like you're really missing out on bigger moments.
That's so true. And maybe you've just gotten a handle on this whole thing. Like for a lot of people, there can be postpartum depression and finding this harder than they imagined and just getting a handle on it. And then they're thrust back into a totally new type of postpartum.
Spot on. So studies show that the biggest challenges include separation anxiety, which is 55%, lack of workplace flexibility, 48%, and feelings of guilt, 43%. Despite this, only 5% of workplaces offer more than 18 weeks of paid maternity leave, leaving many women feeling rushed to return before they are ready. And this is on top of government pay, I should add.
Oh my word, only 5%.
I actually was surprised that it was 5%. If I'm honest.
Oh, sorry. So there's only 5% of organisations that actually have a paid leave program of more than 18 weeks. So we're not taking in, this is after the government leave. Sorry, I've misunderstood that. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I can get more around that. So you get about half a year, 6 months from the government, and then 5% are offering you an extra above 18 weeks. I'm on the same page now. Yeah.
Which seems like quite a lot, if I'm honest. Like that's great. I mean, not a lot.
That's
like,
not bad.
I would like more.
But it should just be the bar, right? Like you should get 6 months paid from the government and then you should get, more. I mean, it gets hard when there's small businesses that really can't afford to, doesn't it?
There's a whole other topic of conversation on that.
We're getting into the weeds.
We don't even need to touch on. But it brought about the question, why do you think that there's still an expectation for mums to bounce back to work so quickly? And do you think that this expectation is changing?
I think the problem is we still tie our self-worth to our productivity. And for a lot of A-type personalities that were absolutely killing it in their career and liked the structure and the reward and the money that came with it, to then be thrust into new motherhood land can be really, really wild. So there's this expectation that to be a productive person, to be someone that is respected in society, what you do is you go back to work and you prove to people that you're not just a fuddy-duddy mum, which as we know is not what mums are. But until the perception or even the reverence of stay-at-home motherhood changes, of course people are always going to be chasing the rewards, and the rewards are often a lot more under the surface in motherhood than they are in the workplace. So then people think that they need to assign their value to what they do for a living, and therefore the societal pressure remains. Get back to work. Show that you're still a human outside of motherhood.
There's also pressure in my belief that a year is a long time to be out of the workforce. Yeah. And from my own experience, not that I took a year, but I must admit, after 8 or 9 months, shit all had changed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
genuinely
Things
nothing.
Things move quickly. And like the thing that I think I've mentioned on this show before is we never take into account, we think we're doing this wild thing because we're taking 9 months, a year off, 6 months, whatever. People leave organizations all the time to go find new jobs. Like you've still stayed where you want to work and you're returning there. We act like we're doing this great disservice to these people that we work with and for. But people are just as likely to quit while you're gone.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. I also wanted to know if you could give one piece of advice to a mum about to return to work, what do you think would be the most important piece of advice, particularly when it comes to this whole I'm not ready feeling of anxiety about going back?
Okay. So one thing that really gets me through a work day that feels stressful, annoying, is going to mean I go to bed really late or is chaotic or any of those things. I tell myself, I get to do this. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. This isn't gaslighting, but there's places in this world where women are not allowed to work. They're not given many rights. And I don't want to gaslight you out of your feeling because your feeling is valid. So I'm going to backpedal. Firstly, I want you to sit down with yourself, have a cup of tea and tell yourself that this feeling is valid because this is a big emotional shift. Your baby might be upset when you drop them to daycare. You might just be upset that chapter is over. That is all absolutely valid. I felt every part of that in my bones throughout both of my sort of return to work journeys. Next up, if it's not feeling too toxically positive, please try and reframe it as I get to do this. And third, this comes from my friend who was a really brilliant anonymous Substack interviewee. I'll link it. She talked about that by earning an income and going back to work, it allowed her the time, the flexibility, and the money to be able to have really incredible moments with her family. So as best as you can, if we're just talking about the emotions of returning to work, try your best to reframe it into a situation of what does returning to paid work offer me that if I didn't return, I would no longer get. So obviously the main reason people return to work can be financial. So what is this affording me in terms of stress, in terms of opportunities for adventure and travel? Write those down to remind yourself of why you're doing it. And last up, seek a mentor, ideally within your workplace, of someone that's done it before and how they felt and how they navigated it. If you don't have an example that close to home or that close to work, find one within your community or listen to podcast examples like I'm Ready or Not of how other mums felt and how they did it to not only validate your feelings, but to also move through them and find a place where you're more comfortable returning to work.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. Only thing I would add is that sometimes it's like that saying, it's like if you wait for the perfect moment, it'll never come. I kind of feel like that a bit about work. If you're waiting for the right time to return to work and when you're feeling ready, it may never come. Sometimes I genuinely think to myself, I'm not ready to go back to work. I'd love to win the lotto. But then the realities of life set in and I'm like, well, this is a reality. And I do have to do what you said and look at the positives and the key takeaways from it. But you also need to know that everybody really, aside from the one percenters, are in the same boat.
Yes, you're never alone. You are best
to band with those people and hash it out together because there is no benefit to sitting there upset, thinking to yourself, why the F am I here? Like, I don't want to be here. I want to be with my kids. All day dwelling in it. You can't get any of your work done. You're in your own head. The minute you talk to somebody else, I guarantee you, particularly if that person is a mum, they're going to say to you, we've all been there.
Yeah. You actually bring up two other big things that are coming up for me, which I feel like you've touched on in an episode before of Ask Ready or Not. First is that we think these things are all so black and white, like I have to go back to this job and then that's it. But you can start to look at other options. If there's something workplace specific that you're not feeling good about returning to, I would also say potentially on that parental leave, start looking and thinking about your other options. You do not need to action it, but you might start to write down what does plan B look like? What does plan C look like? keep those options open for you, even if it's just in your mind, so that returning to work doesn't feel like this be all and end all, and that it's going to be terrible. And if I hate it, then I'm stuck. Because even though it's harder for some people than others, as we learned in last episode, there is always another way. It might not be easy. I'm not pretending it's going to just open itself up to you. But if you're miserable, if you do return to work and it's as bad as you thought it would be, there is always another way to find a little bit more joy, even in situations where it's not perfect and it's hard fought for.
If you're a high-achieving, stressed-out woman looking for better work-life balance, this is for you. I was at a social event recently talking with a woman who was telling me how stressful and exhausting her job is. The way she described it, I assumed she worked in some kind of life or death field, like maybe the NHS. So I asked her what she did, and she looked at me dead seriously and said, "I work in marketing." Now, I'm not picking on marketing. It's a great career. It's a colossal industry that generates billions of pounds. Of course, we should derive a lot of pride and satisfaction from our work. But sometimes I think we lose perspective when it comes to our careers. There are very few jobs in the world that genuinely justify the amount of work stress that most of us are experiencing. We've been conditioned from a very young age to equate our self-worth with how well we're doing at school and as adults at work. And this is exactly what makes us experience high levels of stress in jobs that don't necessarily warrant high levels of stress. We need to gain a better sense of perspective about the role that work plays in our lives, the amount of space that it takes up, and the extent to which we allow it to dictate our self-worth. Yes, your job is important, but it's not that important.
Katie Williams, a stress management therapist and coach, delivered a stark, I've got to find another fucking word, stark reminder that has tallied up hundreds of thousands of views on Instagram. And as you just heard, it is this, that while your job does in fact matter, the stress attached to it is probably at complete odds with the actual work you're doing. That is, if you're not a first responder, a doctor, or doing any job that's fraught with real risk, you're probably overconflating the stress that you're assigning to said task. Now, Lodzie, we've all been there. Our nervous system is in overdrive. We've got a deadline. We're worried as hell. And our body responds as though we're performing a 10-hour life or death surgery, when in reality, most of us aren't. And honestly, if you're a mother doing that, please DM me. I need you on the show. And my hat goes off to you because, wow. Motherhood is one of those many big life events, like losing a parent, injuring yourself, or going through something traumatic, that reminds us that life is short and that a lot of things that we stress about or that we think matter probably aren't as important in the grand scheme of things. So with your motherhood lens on and the perspective that it's brought you, I want to know, when was a time that your stress far outweighed the importance of the project you were working on? And how do you cope with that same sort of stress or project today?
Okay. Great learning for me was in my last role when I had newly come back off parental leave. So I just had Sienna and it was all online. We were doing fully remote and there was this urgent task that came through and it was a bit left of field and it was from like an executive. So it was like, all tools down, we've got to focus on this. No problem, blah, 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 blah. I had the capacity at that point in my career to take it up and to kind of drive the project myself. It was super stressful with time zones because obviously I'm in Melbourne. I had a lot of colleagues in the US, in New York, which is a shitful time zone.
My God, and also I remember the UK. That.
Yeah, it's the worst. So it meant like 5 to 6 a.m. meetings and then 8 p.m. onwards at night. So I was really running myself into the ground on every end and it felt like I could never get everyone in the same room to get stuff done together. So it was just a bit of a shit show, to be honest. Anyway, after probably a month and a half or 6 weeks of doing late nights, really early mornings, I had a baby that slept. So it was fucking frustrating because it would mean that I would be up before she was.
That is so unfair.
So annoying. Yeah. So after a month and a half, I had to do this presentation on it. I did it. I was shitting myself. I was so stressed about it to the point where, like, when I had time with Sienna at night, so I'd pick her up from daycare, I just wanted her to go away, which is an awful thing to say and an awful thing to admit.
We've all been there, though, that moment of being like, you're stressing me out so much and it's not your fault and it's so unfair that I'm taking this out on you.
Because I'm like, what is she doing to stress me out? I dropped her off at 8 a.m. I've picked her up at 5:45. She was the last kid there. I've literally got to jump online at 8 p.m. I should have 2 hours in my day to spend with the child that I so desperately wanted. And all I could think to myself was like, oh my God, go away. I need to be back on the computer. It was horrible.
You have just captured the feeling of every working mother at some stage in that one sentence. That's exactly it.
And then after I presented on it, a week later I heard nothing about this urgent task need to be done. I got pulled. And it was at that specific moment that I thought, why the F have I wasted early mornings, late nights, getting pissed off at my family, like being awful to Ryan, hating on my child that I like absolutely adore, couldn't even fathom spending 2 hours of my time with her at the end of the day because I was just like, I just need to get this done.
I've done that
for a
so
whole
much.
Project to be pulled.
To be pulled. I've done that pulling out the laptop and being frustrated with both of the so kids annoying. As they were more sort of baby age. Like Ray sort of now can be happy for about 20 minutes or whatever if I get the laptop out. But when they're more Posey's age, of being so angry at them for wanting my attention and then thinking to myself, what is wrong with you? A baby needs you. Don't take the frustration out on them. Take it out on yourself. It's the worst feeling. You have captured a moment in time there, my friend.
Yep, and this resonated with me so much because you know how she said that lady said I work in marketing? Feels like I work in marketing. No one is saving any lives. It's a campaign for F's sake.
Four P's, not surgery. You're working on the four P's.
The four P's. That's so funny. But, yeah, it was a real learning point and a learning curve for me because it did make me question to myself, what does urgency mean?
Yes.
And in what context? And how urgent is urgent?
Yeah. Yeah, these perceived deadlines, which she actually talks a lot about in the comments to people that are like, well, in marketing, you have lots of client facing and deadlines and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, sure, I get that. And that is stressful. But who's making these deadlines and are they actually?
They're not actually deadlines. Yeah. So this is another thing I've really learned. In life and in your career, people will place all sorts of deadlines and time constraints on you, mainly to get what they want for themselves. If it is not going to work for you, if it's because your workload is too high, if it's because the deadlines are unrealistic, if it's because you have to engage 55 different stakeholders to actually deliver something and managing that is a head fuck, you are better off to say that deadline is unreasonable. We cannot meet it. Here is a new realistic
and
time
deal with it
frame.
Then rather than, you know, when that deadline's 100%. 24 hours away.
Couldn't say it up front and say, look, that seems a bit unrealistic to me or due to my workload at the moment, happy to help if you can push that deadline out by 2 weeks. The realities are if you're doing the work for someone else, unless it is life or death or there is really seriously a deadline, like if you don't question it, it's just a made up thing out of nowhere.
The amount of shit that gets pulled, pushed back,
all the
delayed
time.
Not even approved by the bosses and the powers that be that actually need to approve this shit. You've done all this work. You've racked up all this stress for nothing. That is a perfect example. One more question for you here. I also wonder how we apply that same perspective to motherhood. You know, when your kids are absolute chaos, there's crap everywhere and you're so stressed looking around at the laundry that needs folding, the messy floor that's got food splattered all over it, all of those things. And often if we broke down those moments and took a step back or we were at our friend's house while she was living through this stress or with the benefit of hindsight, we probably realize that we're more stressed in those situations than we need to be. But in that moment, it's so hard not to be stressed. So I want to know from you, how do we take a moment to remind ourselves that it's actually okay? Because I think I've heard psychologists describe that it's sort of about safety and us feeling safe and in control. So our body reacts as though, which I've mentioned so many times, that we're potentially getting attacked by a dangerous animal. But in reality, all we're doing is navigating a messy room and a loud kid. How do we apply that same sort of relaxing the stress and realizing that everything in front of you isn't actually the end of the world to motherhood?
I don't know the answer to this because I am your quintessential A-type personality. Like things stress me out. And I wouldn't say I'm an overthinker, but I am one of those people that I hate letting people down and I like to feel productive and get shit done. Yeah.
You're militant, and I don't mean that negatively.
I am. No, I am. And I just reckon, like, even for today is a classic example. I have all this shit that I want to get done. I just got a call from Kinder a minute ago that said, hey, Sienna's complaining of a sore throat. Could you please pick her up? I'm like, fuck. That's yeah. what everything else
derails
out of
everything.
Whack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the realities of being a parent. Like, yeah. you can plan and organize as much as you want to meet the deadlines, perhaps that you have already pushed out. And then something like this comes up. I cannot work with her at home if she's sick, seriously sick. If she is feeling unwell, I have to book a doctor's appointment to see what's going on and get her in, because I don't want her feeling like that the next 2 days unmedicated if she needs medication. And I'm also like, that means the hours that I'd potentially wanted to put into meeting this deadline are yeah. dust. So you just have to.
What do we do? We just take a breath. Yeah.
Reevaluate yeah. and have the difficult conversation with people in a calm way.
Yeah.
About
yeah,
the realities of what's on your plate.
Yeah. I guess the big thing there, again, that we always talk about is you're never alone. It's a nice thing to bring up with a friend and then validate your feelings. Say, oh, I went through that the other day. Here's what worked for us. Might work for you. It might not. Take a deep breath. Forgive yourself. And move on, sweetie, because you're doing a great job.
You're doing a bloody great job. We're all just fucking doing the best we can. Someone yeah. said this to me recently. They saw a therapist and they're like, oh, one thing that really resonated with me is like everybody is truly doing the best that they can. And yes. it's so personal. It's like for your own, you know, someone's yelling at their kids in the street because they're driving them mad. They're doing it because that's the best they can do in that moment. Don't yeah. judge them for whatever it is that's going on in their life. Like everyone's trying their best.
And we're all doing our best. And that is a lovely way to end.
On that note, if you have loved today's episode, which has been quite short and sharp, actually, for us.
Good for us.
Yeah. Please leave us a
comment. It's very lovely in your singlet, by the way. I love that black singlet.
Oh, it's a dress doll. It's a dress. Oh,
stunning. You
singlet.
Look great. Oh, I'll have to be in person to understand. To understand. I don't know what I'm saying there. Oh, we need a butt shot,
large.
Actually.
Large. I'm large getting and large.
Love that. Where did we get to?
If you have loved today's episode, please leave us a positive review and follow us on RadioNot.pod, and we will speak to you from Lou's van next week.